Welcome everyone to Parshas Pinchas, page 876 in the Art Scroll. And what I'd like to take a look at, being faithful to our approach of conversations with Hashem, I would like to listen in, not a major conversation as such, but statements from Hashem to Moshe regarding the same point, the point of Jewish leadership. And listen to two statements or two descriptions about two different Jewish leaders and try to make some semblance of consistency between the two statements. Because at first glance, they seem to be somewhat contradictory. As we will see a little later from some of the commentators that are quoted in Rabbi Nachshoni's studies in the weekly Parsha, how many of you remember that we spent a year studying the writings of Rabbi Nachshoni? He also concurs that these two descriptions seem to be at odds with one another. So we're going to be touching upon a very, very important topic, that of Jewish leadership. And in particular, I refer to Hashem's opening statements of great commendation for Pinchas. Pinchas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the high priest, after his heroic act, his courageous act, in the end of last week's Parsha, Parshas Balak, when there started to be an erosion of morality among the Jewish people because the Midianites, one of the nations that would have loved to see us fall on our faces and sink into the depths of idolatry, they went out to seduce us, their women, to our men, causing our men to become involved with them, and thus with the hope of leading them into idolatry. And Pinchas, this great warrior, this great tzaddik, this great kanoi, this zealot for God, stood up, just as a very honorable nasi, a prince of one of the tribes of the Jewish people, the tribe of Shimon, who himself openly took a Midianite princess and declared that he was going to have a relationship with her, and they were actually doing so publicly. Pinchas stands up without regard for the rank, the position of that prince, and speared them to death. This is the famous story of the zealotry of Pinchas. Well, Hashem's reaction to that is, Yasher Koach, good job, Pinchas. As we read in the beginning of this week's Parsha, Hashem spoke to Moshe saying, Pinchas, son of Eleazar, son of Aaron the Kohen, turn back my wrath from upon the children of Israel when he zealously avenged my vengeance among them. So I did not consume the children of Israel in my vengeance. Meaning to say, after that happened, and after it was okay for the prince, so then it was okay for everybody else, I had a vengeance, God says. And my wrath flared. And it's written in the Parsha of last week that a plague broke out and Jewish people started dying by the thousands. Had nobody done anything, such as Pinchas did, who knows where it would have ended. It may have been a total destruction of the Jewish people by God. By Pinchas standing up and taking matters into his own hands and avenging God's vengeance, by spearing this couple, he quieted the wrath of Hashem. And Hashem stopped the plague. And thus, Pinchas really saved our people because of his act of zealousness. God says, therefore say, behold, I give him my covenant of peace. He is going to get a special medal of honor called my covenant of peace, Brisi Shalom. And it will be not only for him, but for his offspring, an eternal covenant of priesthood, because he took vengeance for his God and he atoned for the Jewish people. A big, big Yasher Koach goes to Pinchas for not having the cowardice, but for standing up and taking matters into his own hands and slaying the evildoers. So, from this description, from this opening statement, one would conclude that what is important in Jewish leadership is taking a stand for God and not standing on ceremonies, not being afraid to stand up even to the high and mighty, but we're here for God, and whatever He says, we have to uphold, whatever cost. I was obviously oversimplifying things, but it certainly gives an impression that what's dear to God is one who stands up zealously, almost without regard for how it affects the people. I make that statement a little bit with exaggeration, but just to make the point. A second description now. Later on in the Parsha, we find Moshe turning to Hashem. We know a few weeks ago we learned that Moshe received the verdict that he would not be bringing the people into the land of Israel himself, neither would his brother Aaron. So Moshe turns to Hashem, this is chapter 27, verse 15. Moshe spoke to Hashem saying, "May Hashem, God of the spirits of all flesh, appoint a man over the assembly, who shall go out before them and come in before them, who shall take them out and bring them in. And let the assembly of Hashem not be like sheep that have no shepherd." Moshe asks for a successor, and the criteria of such a successor would be, it's actually hinted to in the words, "God of the spirits of all flesh." Famous commentary by Rashi on these words. And we can paraphrase it in the English footnote, number 16. God of the spirits. Of all the ways Moshe could have addressed God, he chose this one. Instead of referring to God's omnipotence or wisdom, he spoke of God's knowledge of the intricacies of the human mind and personality, of God's knowledge that every person has his own virtues and foibles, and that the best way to lead is to understand the needs of every follower. God of the spirits, God who knows not just his own divine wisdom, but who knows the idiosyncrasies of the spirits of lowly man, thus implying that that is the kind of leader Moshe hopes to see. Moshe thus implied that the sort of leader he wanted to succeed him was one who, as much as humanly possible, because obviously a human being can't have the intimate knowledge of everybody's personality, everybody's mind, like God can, but as much as humanly possible, to have a sense, to have a good sense of character judgment, to embody these divine characteristics so as to accommodate the individuals who comprise the nation. Isn't that interesting? To accommodate the individuals, as if the leader is here for the people, to accommodate them. Not to accommodate God, to accommodate the people. And of all of the characteristics that Moshe could have asked for in a leader, this is the one that stands out. And did Hashem say to Moshe, "No, that's a frivolous request. That's not what's important of a leader. You need somebody who will take the horse by the reins and will disregard what people want, the way people feel, but it's what God wants. And with a strong hand, uphold the banner of God." Does Hashem say that to Moshe? Does Hashem reject Moshe's request? Not at all. In the next paragraph, Hashem says to Moshe, "Take to yourself Joshua, son of Nun, a man in whom there is spirit." As Rashi says, just like you asked for, a person in whom there is the Spirit of God, so that he knows how to treat each person according to his own spirit. Yes, indeed, appoint such a person, and that person is Yehoshua, a man in whom there is spirit, and lean your hand upon him. He will be your leader. You hit the nail on the head. That's the kind of leader you need. Someone that understands, to use the contemporary lingo, where people are coming from, who can teach them according to their level of understanding, according to their imperfections. So which one is it? What is the definition of the true leader of Israel? Is it the strong-handed zealot, the Pinchas, who disregards the individual and brings down the word of God with a fury? Or is it the understanding, patient, sensitive soul who cares about people's feelings as the first and foremost characteristic? Okay, so we'll say it's a combination of both. That's the easy answer. And that's the ultimate answer. But still, it's too close to be coincidental that here in the same Parsha in which Pinchas is so acclaimed we have a different kind of personality type chosen as the leader. In fact, one could ask the obvious question. Why is Moshe asking Hashem to find a leader? And Hashem says, I've got him, Yehoshua. Wouldn't the obvious choice have been Pinchas? Hasn't Pinchas proven himself? You would think this was his audition. Actually, he performed and showed himself worthy of being the leader.
He already made him a Kohen.
So therefore, a Kohen cannot take the place of the king. Can't be a Melech. Okay, good. That's a good point. Pinchas may have been disqualified because he was from the wrong tribe. The priests have their role to play inside the temple. There is another important office in Israel, which is the Melech, the king. And the king cannot be a priest. In fact, the king is supposed to come from other tribes, primarily Judah, although Yehoshua was from the tribe of Ephraim, and the first king of Israel, Shaul, was from the tribe of Benjamin. So there would be, perhaps at some point, a place for another tribe, but not Kohen. So one could say that that question is not even a valid question, because Pinchas does not qualify. What did you want to say?
It's a very valid question, but Yehoshua was with Moshe every day and at his side and learned. Pinchas was a one-time act, even though he was a leader in his own right and someone who has 40 years of experience with the ultimate teacher. That's leadership material.
Pinchas just had a good day. It's interesting. God doesn't say, nor does Moshe say, that the reason why Yehoshua is being chosen is because of his tutelage. It's because he had the right personality. That's what's emphasized. And it's almost the extreme opposite of the personality of Pinchas. So there seems to be a tension within the right, just the right personality of a leader. But listen to what some of the commentaries have to say about this. I didn't realize how much of an issue this is among the commentators, and I really only found out about it through this book, as I mentioned, Rabbi Nachshoni. So, suffice it to say that there are different views on the subject. What else is new? First of all, there's some background that the trait of kana'us, of zealotry, is not always smiled upon. There was an incident in the Book of Kings with Eliyahu the prophet, who also committed an act of zealotry. There were false prophets in those days, known as the prophets of Baal. They actually worshipped some form of idolatry, and they had the ear and the heart of much of the nation, unfortunately. But Eliyahu, in Kings 1, 1840, kills the prophets of Baal. Eliyahu brought them down to the Kishon River and slaughtered them there. In the aftermath, he receives a prophecy from Hashem. And in the prophecy, he is told to appoint some kings and to get a replacement for himself, to find another prophet to succeed him because his days are numbered. And that's when Elisha, who was the disciple of Eliyahu, became the head prophet. The place of this prophecy was not Eretz Yisrael. He went into the desert, and this is the reason. Hashem wished to bring him to the place where Moshe had given the Torah in order to guide him in Moshe's path. First, a fierce wind tore through the mountains, showing him that his chosen path, zealotry, was difficult for Hashem to bear. As we read the next chapter after that, 19, Hashem's way is not by earthquakes or fire. Afterward came a delicate whisper, teaching that in Hashem's eyes, appropriate action involves calmness and forethought. Another paragraph, the Kutzker Rebbe says that although Pinchas' act was celebrated and his virtues praised, he was still invalidated from being a leader of the Jewish people, which prompted the appointment of Yehoshua. Until then, says the Kutzker Rebbe, Moshe thought Pinchas would replace him as leader. He was the number one candidate. Yet when he saw Pinchas' zealotry, he said that while Pinchas is truly holier than others, maybe he had no tolerance for what he saw, and maybe he reacted out of sheer pureness, purity of the soul. But he lacked leadership traits. A leader must conduct himself with moderation and flexibility. That's what the Kusko Rebbe says. Later on, it's quoted again in the section where he speaks about the appointment of a successor for Moshe, and it's more explicit here. The Kusko Rebbe expresses a sharp message. At first, Moshe wished Pinchas to replace him. Yet on seeing his zealotry, Moshe said, "Hashem, God of the souls of all flesh, appoint a man to be over the congregation." To which Rashi comments, "Let Hashem appoint one who matches every soul." We need somebody that can identify with each individual. Matches every soul. Ish asher ruach bo, a man with spirit. A man that can truly empathize and identify with every person. That is what we need, not someone like Pinchas.
We're here because Moses intervened between God and us, keeping God from killing us.
Interesting.
If Pinchas was there, we might not be here right now.
Interesting. Now, it says over here that Moshe really embodied both traits, both the trait of Pinchas and the trait of Yehoshua. That was the uniqueness of Moshe. But as we know by the Torah, there's no one else like Moshe. So to have someone that's perfectly balanced and tuned in both the zealousness and the spirit perhaps is hard to find. And what we have over here is two different paradigms. The Pinchas, the zealot, standing up for God no matter who, no matter what, and the Yehoshua, who has the spirit of people inside of his soul. And apparently the decision was made that B'nai Yisrael, the Jewish people, would need a leader like Yehoshua. There are others that say that that's not why Pinchas was invalidated. He was invalidated because he was a Kohen and several other reasons. There are other sages, even more contemporary commentators, that insist Pinchas is worthy of leadership in terms of the personality of him. L'Chassam Sofer, for example, says that when it says that the leader should match every soul, it doesn't mean to be compatible with everybody, to, quote, get along with everybody. That's not what it means. Neged, matching, could also be in the statement as being a match, being able to stand up to everyone. In other words, on the contrary. You know, there are tough people in the world, and a leader is someone that can stand up and not be pushed over by strong personalities. That's what it means to be matching every soul. It may be more in terms of zealousness, but he's not swayed and he's not pushed over by others. So the Chassam Sofer is on the side that says there is nothing flawed about Pinchas, even in terms of being a real leader for the people. A leader must lead his community, not be dragged along behind them, following their lead. We know the Chassam Sofer himself was a very strong communal leader in Hungary in the 1800s. There's a pithy statement that says that the rabbi of a community, if everybody loves him and his policy, then he's not a rabbi. And if nobody likes him, he's not a mensch. So we all know that the truth has to be in the middle. But just kind of walking away from this parsha and from this issue that seems to be so central, it seemed to me that this is very much in keeping with a central idea, a central theme that I think we have developed over maybe 2 years, and that is the duality of Hashem and man. We have discussed on different planes and using different terminology. One time we were talking about the klal and the prat, the whole versus the parts. More recently, I was trying to coin the phrase Toras Hashem and Toras Adam, the Torah of God and the Torah of man. God is a complete world, but a man is a complete world. A human being is a complete world. And Rabbi Luzzatto teaches us time and time again that the purpose of life is for the man with his own personality, with his own ideas, with his idiosyncrasies, with his imperfections, with his foibles, is supposed to come to embrace God, to choose, use Bechira. That is the goal. The goal is not to, for God himself does not come to squelch man, to crush man and to say, what you think is not important, it's what I think. That's not God's way. Quite the opposite. He has given man free choice so that man can embrace God with his own mind, with his own thoughts. That is life. Life is God and man together. And thus leadership has to be in consideration of God and man. Full consideration of God, of the truth of God. It's not pick your own path, do whatever you like, follow your heart's desires. That's not what Torah is all about. So one has to know the truth of God. This is God's will. This is God's law. And one has to also know the truth of man. A person will not respond when he's dealt with an iron hand. A person will turn away. A person will reject if it is pushed upon him. A person has to feel that this is something that he can accept on his own level. There's a truth to that too. Torah of Hashem is true, and the Torah of Adam is true. Hashem made us that way. That's what I think is the issue here. We cannot ever forget that the world revolves on these two poles. Knowledge of God, knowledge of man. So that's what the issue here is with leadership, the same thing. Obviously, we're not taking a vote. We're not sure if it's a vote between Pinchas or Yehoshua. The commentators are divided about it. But certainly, we can walk away with an appreciation of both sides and of both virtues and know whether we're talking about leadership of the congregation or leadership of ourselves, that we have to grasp these two tools in our hands. We have to be fully aware and cognizant and embrace the Torah of Hashem, the notion that Hashem's law is true. It is not for me to change it or to ridicule it. It is Hashem's law, and it has to be followed for God's sake, for my sake, for our people's sake. And there's also the great appreciation for the uniqueness of the individual people that make up the Jewish nation. And whether it's how we deal with others and accepting them at their level and having faith in them and not judging people or ruling them out, we have to do that. Or even as we deal with ourselves, to appreciate our own uniqueness and using that uniqueness to try to grab onto the totality of Torah Hashem. This, I believe, is what we can walk away from this parsha of Jewish leadership, knowing that both Torah Hashem and Torah Adam, the law of God and the law of man, has an emes to it, and true completeness in spiritual development, I believe, comes when we accept and embrace fully both. Good job.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to torahmediaatlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.